July 11th, 2017 is now called to order. Welcome, everybody.
Morning.
Morning.
I have no changes to the agenda today. Any changes to the agenda? Are you ready for the question? Would you like a motion to accept the agenda? Moved by Councilor Muse, seconded by Councilor Fisk. Discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We have no presentations this morning. Are there any petitions to be tabled this morning? Second call for petitions. Third, final call for petitions. We have no petitions this morning. We'll now move on to 5-0, which is public question comment session. Any member of the gallery would like to comment this morning? Please state your name and address.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Drew Riddle, Leon Robertson, the College Street in Liverpool. First of all, I just wanted to compliment the region there, the opening of the new Mersey Skateboard Park. Yeah, it wasn't a real nice day that day, but the rain had been held off, and it was a very good opening. And since then, I've dropped by there a few times, and there are people using it. And as I mentioned to you earlier, the one concern, and I guess that's trying to be addressed, and that is not too many of the ones using it in the tunnels. And it's a big sign there that what they're supposed to do and so on. And I understand from your comments that I guess you actually here are sort of keeping a watch on that. But my question there is, what about the liability as far as the region is concerned?
It's my understanding, Leon, that the RCMP are responsible for enforcing the provincial law requiring a helmet to be worn, and they will do that.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I know, as far as the insurance is concerned, the Trestle Trail Bridge there is closed because even though you could put signs up that it wasn't at your own risk and this sort of thing, that you still could be sued.
And that was a different issue, Leon. I would ask our municipal acting clerk, Jennifer, if she would like to speak to that.
So as far as our insurance liability and our insurance policy is concerned, we have everything covered on the signage. So all the wording on the signage covers us as far as protective equipment.
So therefore you wouldn't get sued?
Correct.
Okay. Too bad that that couldn't have been the same thing for the mayor then. And I know that was what the previous council had to do with the Trestle Trail Bridge, so maybe we should close. Anyway, going on, I'd like to also mention, I noticed here in your agenda today, you have information there on the tire to Liverpool, and the information there, it sounds very good, and perhaps maybe it can be expanded upon and make sure that we get some people to move here. And you're also, I see, engaged the services of local municipalities. Teachers in the community, and the plant complaint is on here, and I just got involved in that myself and my wife this year. We do have a plot up there at the community gardens, and we're enjoying it. And in fact, we did take some letters from there yesterday and had it for dinner last night. And they're putting up a fence out yesterday to try to keep the deer out, but it's a good project, and I noticed in here. And the information we have from that, from the organization, which will be a big piece for a food fight or something down at the park in September. Anyway, just one final I thought I noticed it's not up, Mr. Mayor. I noticed, and it was mentioned here at the previous council meeting, I noticed the signs on Park Street for people to slow down with respect to children being there. And on Facebook last week, there was a lot of people saying, well, other street where people are speeding and so on, quite a bit of information. And I've spoken over the years to the RCMP with respect to public street where I live, and particularly during the school year, there's 100 or more kids go up and down there during the day, walking because some of them just go to school and they walk back down again. And it's all during that, and even in the summer. And people speed up there something crazy. You know, up over there is a pitch of the hill there, which is a blind pitch, but over my house is, and they're coming up there 80, 90 kilometers an hour sometimes. And that's even in the day.
certainly enforce and address that. The radar trailer is in the area, and it has been set up in numerous locations within Queens. If you'd like to also, or any other citizen, report to the RCMP problem areas, they'll look at putting that radar trailer in the area as well.
As far as reporting to the RCMP, on different occasions over the past 2, 3, 4 years, the staff sergeant or representative would be here. And on different occasions, I would explain the situation to him, and yes, we will look into that and see what we can do.
Well, whether it happened or not, I guess the public doesn't know, but it doesn't hurt to report those issues, and we have new staff at times at the RCMP.
Oh, I realize it changed, yeah.
Things do change over time.
I'll try again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Flynn, Mr. Mayor, members of council, Bill Cox, 121 Bob Road, Lake County. Just a question in regard to the funding for the sewer project for School Street and Lower Main Street. The dictator asked me how that is being paid for, and I said I thought that all of our sewer projects were financed under the gasoline tax rebate. And they said, well, if that is the case, why have we not applied for, or why have we not gotten any financing from the Canada 150 Infrastructure Community Improvement Program? And I said, well, I thought we had applications in the spring, but I wasn't sure whether we had received approval of that. Neither you or the CIO enlightened me as to the financing for that and whether we got any 150 infrastructure funding from the federal government.
The Main and School Street projects are costing approximately $2.2 million. Of that, $1.6 million was excess from the federal and provincial governments to the tune of 75% of the cost of the project. So we have managed to source that additional money for those two streets. It's going well, and we're very pleased to have that federal and provincial cost-sharing money. As you stated, gas tax does get utilized in the region of Queens for most of our streets, but in this situation, where we receive federal and provincial funding, gas tax is not allowed to be used on those.
Does everybody get funding for anything else from the...
Yes, I'll let the CAO respond to that.
Yes, and Queens did quite well under the Canada Infrastructure 150 funding, specifically paying for the new roof on the town hall. And there was, I believe, three or four community groups that received substantial money. I believe the North Queens Trail Project was in the announcement. I don't recall the other one in that one announcement, but we did fairly well as community with regards to awards from that fund.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we can move on now to 6.1, which is regular council, June 27th, 2017. A motion to approve the minutes for that meeting would be in order. Councilor Mews, seconded by Councilor Frelick. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? Thank you. It's unanimous. 6.2, minutes of the public hearing, June 20th, 2017. A motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Deputy Mayor McLeod. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. And 6.3, special council meeting, June 20th, 2017, a motion to approve the minutes would be in order. Moved by Councilor Frelick, seconded by Councilor Mews. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We have nothing under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly. Under economic development, we have 8.1, retired the Liverpool website for information, and I would ask the CAO to put us a briefing on that, please.
Sure, I'm pleased to give an update on this initiative led by local resident Peter Ripple. Over the last couple of years, has developed a website called retiredeliverpool.com, and his aim was to showcase Queens as a perfect place for people to retire to, and with a fair bit of effort into his website. He's also been working with us on sharing some of the data from the activity, which our report shows that over the past year we've had about 5,000 users visit the website. It's also been really interesting to try a couple initiatives and measure the success of those initiatives. So we've installed a sign on our Queens Crossing lands, and we'll be monitoring the bump in activity on retiredliverpool.com for a modest price as well. We did a targeted Facebook advertisement looking for soon to be retiring people from Ontario, and saw a significant bump in activity on his website from that. We also planning to try a couple of other targeted advertising projects in near coming months, and measure the success of those sort of initiatives. So this is a really great example of a volunteer or community coming forward and doing something to better the community. It's community led, and in fact he's going to be, and I won't steal the thunder, too much of the thunder on this, but he's hoping to talk about his project in an upcoming Vibe Talks event, which is another example of a community led initiative, promoting and supporting success and growth in Queens. So just wanted to share with you that example and the successes we're having from this volunteer and community-led initiative.
Any questions or comments of council? Stephanie, we reply?
I think it's a great initiative, and kudos to Mr. Ripple for starting it and following up on it, and his stats are really encouraging. In addition to, once people get here and visitors that come or people that are interested in the community looking for new locations and whatnot, once they're here, and I think we might have talked about this before, some type of welcoming program that we could have initiate through the municipality. And we all know that the Welcome Wagon is, I think, a type of business, because when I see their ads in the paper, it says, you want a job, contact Welcome Wagon. But I think maybe if we could really seriously look at something here for our own initiative to welcome people to our community, even people that move within our area, like coming from, somebody might move from, say, North Queens or South Queens or Lunenburg County to Queens County. It'd be kind of nice to have something like that here.
Zia? And through the mayor to council on that, there's been a fair bit of interest from council towards the organization facilitating and enabling, in some cases, leading more newcomers events. And one of the things that, so recently there was a Vibe Talk event that was focused on this, which was interesting, drew a lot of people. Mr. Ripple were sharing information with, so that newcomers can be invited to some of the things that are coming along from. As well, we're also referring folks to the Chamber of Commerce, and they're going to be hosting some dinners for newcomers, as well. We plan to do some more things so that it's not just a one band-aid for welcoming. So that's good.
Any other councillors? Councillor Kelly?
I was just like, he works very fast, Peter Ripple, doesn't he? It's like, I talked to him yesterday about the Vibe Talk, but I just wanted to put out there, it's August the 2nd, Wednesday, August the 2nd at 4 o'clock at Hell Bay Brewing. So yeah. Same place as last time. So if anybody wants to come along and hear more about what Peter Ripple has to say about retired Ripple, and a number of other people will be there as well, and we'll get the list out soon.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Councillor Johnson?
Can I ask just one question? How far beyond the catchment area of Liverpool does this website focus on? Does it focus for the whole county, or does it basically, the premises, and bring them into Liverpool and then they see the rest of the county from there?
So
I'm not familiar with the website because I live in one of those internet areas. So.
Sure. So most of the assets, now the assets described on his website go beyond Liverpool. And you'll see natural assets from around the community. Obviously, Liverpool is the place that brings them to in it, but it talks about a number of the Queen's natural and community assets in his rationale for why you want to come here.
Okay, because I deflected at least one community inquiry about why is it Liverpool, why is it named, but it's got nothing to do with the region. The region doesn't fund it or anything. So it's just trying to get that clarity out there about understanding what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about, so it's novel.
And it would be helpful, Councillor Johnson, if there were other individuals throughout Queens who were interested in starting a website retired to their portion of Queens, because all of these websites draw residents and hopefully future residents to become Queens. Councillor Lewis?
I was talking to some people that moved here from the Valley, and they tell me that every couple of months they get together on a Friday night at the Central 21 and have a few drinks, and a lot of people that move from the area come here.
Where do they meet?
Century 21. It's a little bar. Pool hall.
Councillor Fraley?
What Councillor Muse is referring to, that was an initiative taken on by Oscar Hansen, who had a lot of people from away or moved to the area coming into his store regularly. So because there was a lack of places to go and events for them to be involved in, he started his own. So that was something. Friday at 5 o'clock, have it stop by for a drink, and it just kind of grew. So it's a really good example of what anybody can do to kind of make newcomers feel welcome. So, and it's still continuing even though Oscar's moved on. So that's where that all came from.
Any other councillors? Thank you. Well, thank you, CAO. Very interesting presentation. We will next move on to 9.0, Corporate Services, 9.1, Local Real Estate Services. We have a recommendation. Councilor Muse, would you like to take the lead on 9.1?
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality award request for proposal local real estate agent brokerage services to Ann Thompson Realty.
Second for that? Councilor Fisk? CAO, would you like to give us a briefing on this?
Sure. The purpose for this service is to help the municipality move to market and sell some of the surplus properties that council declares on more residential and smaller, not the commercial properties that we're working with the national firm on. And so the request for proposal was issued directly to four local proponents at the end of May. The RFP closed on June 16th. We received a single submission, which we did our due diligence on. We're recommending the award, and we'll work with the proponent to start listing some of the properties that council has recently declared surplus, and I would expect in the fall we'll have a few more properties that we'll bring forward to council to declare as surplus for this thing as well.
Any questions or comments of councillors on this one? Councillor Fraley?
This is a change from last time we had someone from outside of the county. Is that correct, or are they doing different levels of
CAO?
Two different scopes. For clarity, okay. The commercial properties were exempt from this solicitation, and that solicitation exempted the residential and smaller properties from it. So
okay.
We were really looking for the national firm to market the larger commercial properties. But
okay.
This will
Thank
be
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other councillor? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We have nothing to do with 10.0 Engineering and Works. Under 11.0 Finance, we have 11.1 Audit Committee Appointment Recommendation. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead on this one?
I certainly will. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality appoint Bruce Inglis as the independent member of the Audit Committee.
Seconder to that motion? Councilor Muse. Jennifer, would you like to speak to this?
Sure. So as part of the committee around accountability and transparency and the new suggestions and recommendations that the province has put forward, among which will be councillors' expenses will be posted online, they also suggested that municipalities solicit a public member, an independent member of the general public to attend the audit committee. So the structure of the audit committee really doesn't change. In the region of Queens, the audit committee is council as a whole. It's not an actionable committee, it's a review committee. The actions, of course, of the audit are performed by the public accounting firm that's been named as the auditor for the municipality, and those firms are all available on a list, an approved list by the province of Nova Scotia, as ours is, and that's Belvedere. So we will add the public member to all of council during the point in time when our auditors will interview the annual financial statements with council in a public meeting.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I understand what you're saying, Jennifer, and it is part of the joint municipal accountability and transparency issue that we're dealing with, report. And there's no remuneration or anything paid to this person. It's completely volunteer.
Correct.
And this person, as in Mr. Ingalls Bruce, will sit when we ever discuss anything from the accounting firms. He'll just be there on the sidelines, making sure that everything is, you know,
and
it
they will ask questions,
yeah,
for clarification,
right?
So general rules, same as all the rest of you would be able to.
Councilor Kelly?
So how often does this audit take place?
Once a year.
Once a year.
Any other councilors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? Raise your hands. Thank you. We'll move on to 12.0, 12.1, plan for flight. And I'd ask Diana Johnson if she'd like to come forward for the presentation desk.
Good morning. This will be pretty quick. I've been sitting on the Plants Bank Committee probably for 5 or 6 months now, as kind of just a representative for the region, as a bit of an advisor, I guess. So, as stated earlier, the plots that are located at Mount Pleasant are full and robust, and there are none left. So, the Planted Plate Society has discussed you know, possibility of them expanding and whatnot down the road. They are planning an event for Privateer Park in September. The details of all this have not been finalized. They do want it to be a rather big deal, showcasing a lot of what they do, a lot of food-related activities, some really fun ideas that are still being generated. The Amazing Food Race sounds kind of cool. They're kind of using physical activity and edible plants and food as a basis for all that. And it looks like it's going to be kind of fun and interesting. And we're just working towards a bunch of other small initiatives, and that's pretty much about it. Is there any questions?
Any councillors have any questions or comments? Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, I appreciate that you're so involved with Plants Plate, and I was on Plants Plate when it originally started, and the concept came forward, and sort of gave it up to be here because I wanted to advocate on this side of things. But I appreciate all the work that you're doing with them. Wasn't it originally something that came through council from your department to say that there was land being earmarked in other places, like in other places in Queens County? Has anything been identified? Or?
They've identified some areas they'd like to use.
Okay.
We haven't brought that to council at this point.
I thought it was something that was already earmarked and it was
something. Not to my knowledge.
Any other councilor? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I think it's a great idea, and I know it should look like it's going to be fun, messy fun, maybe, I don't know. whoever, whatever gets organized.
Yeah.
I can just picture a lot of this, somebody on a race with apples under their chin, not dropping them, and, you know, throwing stuff around, you know, but as long as there's not a lot of, you know, on waste or that sort of thing. But I think it would really encourage people to have fun with their food, really.
And I think that's the concept, yeah.
Yeah. And maybe create some food product, like for kids. I know that years ago I used to do a program with cable television called Nutrition Cake, which was ranging nutritionism. And she used to design little foods for kids to make it fun and happy, like they did little, create little faces on a plate, and the kids would really eat the good, the, you know, the good food and the nourish food because they had fun doing it. So that's how I.
Diana, when you're sitting on the committee, is there much talk about, because they've approached us many times about planting in our planters, which we traditionally plant flowers in, and I see Bridgewater has now taken the lead of that and are planting fruit trees and edible products, edible food, in their planters in the public spaces. Has there been any talk of that? Because I know that was their main goal when they presented to council.
Yeah, there's
second,
been...
third, fourth time.
Yeah, there's been a number of changes with the committee, and I believe that was a lady named Melanie was the first person that I was dealing with. She's since moved on. Since her departure, there's not been a lot of chatter about that. A lot of focus is on the gardens and expanding those units, but there hasn't been much discussion around the table in regards to that idea, but certainly can be discussed.
Well, it has been.
Yeah.
And, I always hate to see neighboring communities get ahead of us
right.
on that. So we could have been the leaders on that. So that's very disappointing to hear. But okay, thank you.
Councilor Fancy?
Going along with what Councilor Fraley said, that was brought up back here years ago as some of the plants that were needed to be replaced because we were going to put in plants in place up there. We have some over at Queen's Place already. There's some in place, but we were going to expand from this. And so it's really, I think, put back in our park, in our ballpark. I mean, they shouldn't have to come and keep saying it again because they've already brought it here. We should be looking, and I thought that's what we were planning to do. So I don't know, I haven't heard anything more about it, but it, they definitely have brought it here, and I thought we were going forward with that. The other end is that it's growing really well up there. I'd love to see even have some volunteers who are willing to come in and help. I know they're putting up fence this morning, and we can't be putting up fence because we're here. But it's community garden, but it's for the community as a whole. So if people wanted to help in any way, to be able to have a list of volunteers that could come up and help. Because some people need things, some people need help with gardens, some people need, you know, anything you could do if you wanted to be involved in the community, let's be community.
And they do provide some free workshops as well that for anyone, not just the plot managers or owners. So there is opportunity certainly for
And those workshops is for other people to help them learn how to grow, what things are, what things could be here. I mean, when she came here and brought some of the edible food, so it was just like you couldn't believe it, but what you could do. So I think we're missing out on opportunities to be able to go forward with this.
Councilor Johnson?
I think just to support the plant on plate and to follow along with Councilor Frelick said, a small success example is the planters at the North Queens Medical Center. Plant to plate helped fund those, and you know, we put in Hascap berries and high bush blueberries and currant bushes, I believe. And they're just flourishing. You know, and I think we as representatives for different communities outside of the boundaries of Liverpool need to go back and get champions and be able to bring it forward. But you guys don't come up with all the ideas, you're not that, you know, we should be able to bring those ideas to you as well. So, but that's a small example of success, you know, and we can make it grow for sure. So.
Any other councillors?
Maybe I could just get clarification then, because I mean I always assumed that as well, and hence the question about identifying other lands that these things could happen on. But it says here the development of municipal policy on this policy on the consideration for purchasing and planting edible shrubbery and trees as a first option is ongoing. So we'll see something eventually, will we, on edibles, a policy on planting edibles.
Yep, if that's a directive that council takes, certainly the policy has been started.
Right.
And that would, as I believe was directed originally, that would be the way we go.
Okay.
Any other councillors? Councillor Phil?
Sorry, I'm confused. If that was a direction, can someone offer explanation why we haven't followed up on that?
CAO, would you like to comment on that?
We clearly made that direction based on plans to play numerous presentations to council.
Yes, yeah.
We're all under the assumption that it's been happening, and yet our representative, to no fault of our own, doesn't seem to know that this is happening, nor do the people at plans to play. So I would really like a good explanation why this hasn't been happening.
CAO?
So specifically, we haven't received a direction from council to do such. We've had a couple presentations, and we've been liaising with plans to plate, but there's no motion outstanding that we're going to plan. We can bring back a report on that. That was one of a few items that they presented on, but there's no direction. There's been no approved motion of council that we're going to start putting in or where edible landscape, and so it's not been on the list for us to bring back to council.
Councillor Phil?
So what you're saying is that we need an actual motion. So even though they presented four or five times, a motion hasn't been brought forward. Although this seems like, what was the motion Councillor Kelly read?
This was no discussion. It was part of the what's in your package for today that they're developing, and I thought that was, we had agreed on something at a previous meeting that is allowing that to happen, and that's going forward, a policy on that.
So clearly we need to bring back a motion that will direct and encompass all of this. So we'll do that for next.
Councillor Kelly?
So isn't, if there's a development of municipal policy on the consideration for purchasing as the first option is ongoing, the development of a policy, that would have had to have been a directive or a motion from council in order for staff to work on that, right? Is staff's working on that?
So
no,
just for clarity, so Diana's been engaged with Plants to Plates working on things, and she mentioned that hasn't been one of the most pressing items on the agenda.
No,
there,
I understand. But, yeah.
But so you know, it's a matter of what her priorities are working through. We didn't have explicit direction to bring that back, so it wasn't something that I was tracking or looking for. We can bring back a report on an edible food policy and what the budget implications and other things. I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what it cost or what would be appropriate. So
that would be great. Can we agree on can we do that?
Yes, we'll bring it forward.
Okay.
And I'll make sure that that's reflected in the minutes.
Okay.
I'll bring back a report on this.
Councillor Johnson?
Well, I think it's on our radar. The piece that's missing is we don't have an ETA, any kind of a estimated time of any kind of action, but it was initiated on the 24th of January. You know, so can have all the start dates we want if we don't have an end date, but I think if we set some kind of an end date for that, and then accountable and trackable on our tracking system.
So again, I don't believe there's been any direction for us on that other than to follow up and work with Plant to Plate, and this was the update with regards to that. So if council wishes to give us direction on that, we can bring back a report on, and there's a lot of things that we discuss in council presentations that come and go, and we don't assume direction, you know, without an approved motion. That's just simply something that we have not received direction on.
And I'm wondering, Richard, also, when we get this thing started and we get completed, is which department it would fall under, whether it's under recreation, whether it's under the groundskeeping, because if we're going to be doing this, then you look into their works department and their division of the works department or whatever. So we have to really decide who's going to do what's going to be done and what's the purpose of it.
Ex- exactly what the outcomes are and what the budget implications are, consider it for budget, program, certainly.
To be fair to the process, we heard today that Plant to Plate may have shifted their focus on their gardening location more so than some other initiatives that were earlier pushed forward. So I think it would be incumbent upon staff to revisit with Plant to Plate exactly where their focus is presently and where they'd like to go, so that we end up with a report coming back that meets the needs of both Plant to Plate and the Region of Queens. Yes, Councilor Fancy?
I don't think they refocused, because I'm on it, so we haven't refocused. I think they thought it was just going forward, that we replaced things that we were going to put in edible plants, and I think I thought that was the agreement of not like starting something new. It was just a matter of, you know, we're going to do some groundwork this year. We're going to put, we're just going to start putting in, rather than just putting in a colorful bush, we're going to put something in that's going to be edible. So I think they didn't, they just kind of walked away from it, because I think they thought, well, not they, I'm part of it, is that we thought it was going to just going to happen.
Yeah, Jennifer would like to comment on this.
Just curious, so you say the Plant to Plate Committee has been discussing this for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But has anybody discussed any of the insurance implications around this? Because you can't use pesticides, obviously.
Right.
It's edible. So if they're kind of around our general areas, like you said, four-way stock planters, contaminants, there'd be, I would think, a huge liability issue with the region planting the possibility for contaminants and then people walking by eating from them. I just wondered if there was an issue of Plant to Plate, if that was anything that they had considered.
I don't think anybody thought of it that way, but we put back like the same thing as when we talk about skate park or anything else. People have to look at what's going on in other communities, and they're doing it in other communities. So
staff has to
To review it and to find out. You know, you don't want to get ourselves in any problems, but you wouldn't put down a something down low that somebody could do, because that's a part of our discussion before. Something that somebody could come along and urinate on, something like that. You know, that you could things like. You know, I'm just putting that as an example of. You
that's
put some things up that's higher up, but that, you know, but that again, we put it back to staff to be able to figure out the right plants, the right area.
Right. So make a suggestion and then see if staff can figure everything out.
One would expect that all these issues would be part of the review.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Any other councillors? Deputy Mayor.
One positive aspect, and getting back to the Plant to Plate organization themselves, is they've really grown. I mean, they really came from just a small little plot up near Mount Pleasant to something that's really grown, and they've acquired more land, and they have fencing, and having an annual event, you know, every year. So it's really been great for them. And if the community can step on board, and we're not just talking about municipal properties for this edible landscaping, we're encouraging individuals too in their properties to put things out front, so that, you know, and these are things that could, like rhubarb and that sort of thing, that grow year after year after year. Just encouraging people to do certain things like that, to educate them as well on their own little garden. So I think it's a whole benefit of doing this.
And that is a great idea, to have it in certain areas, in certain lands. I just don't think along the roadway is appropriate.
Any other councillors have a comment or a question on this issue? Councillor Crowley?
Deputy Mayor McLeod just said, with the exact presentation that Plants to Plate made, and their point was that as community leaders, if we are showing that, whether you eat the product or not in the end, you're showing the public, you're showing visitors and tourists to our community that we're on board with what they're doing. So we get too wrapped up in liability issues, obviously, because we've been talking about this literally for years, and we've yet to plant one bush in our planters to show that we're in favor of what they're doing. So it's a much bigger subject, and it is supporting Plants to Plate by, instead of putting in a tree in front of the post office, you put in an apple tree, then you've proved that what they're doing is worthwhile. So that is the exact presentation that they made. And they deserve to have a report, and they deserve to have us be on board no matter how we do it. So I'm very interested to see that report and find out what we can do.
Thank you, Councilor Fancy. Frehley, any other councilor this morning? Well, thank you, Diana, for your presentation. Very appreciated.
You're welcome. I'm going to stay put for the next.
And I would ask Megan to come forward if she would. We'll move on to 12.2, Community Recreation Assistance Program, Milton Canoe and Camera. Councilor Fancy, would you like to take the lead?
I shall recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a Community Recreation Assistance Program grant in the amount of $300 to the Milton Canoe and Camera Club to be funded from the Community Grant and Program Budget Line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
Seconder to that, Councilor Frehley. Megan, would you like to start the discussion?
Sure. So the Canoe and Camera Club are looking to, well, they're revitalizing their program. So they've started a couple new things. Some are in the works, some are happening. So they've included the schools, our local schools, the Wickwire, the junior high, and the high school in their newest part of their program. And basically it's just integrating the kids into introducing them to canoeing, kayaking in a safe environment. So they go over everything from, you know, how to safely get in and out, what to look for in a PFD, you know, where are good places to paddle, and then they obviously go out and they do it and they practice how to get in and out even in the water, you know, safely in and out if you were to fall. So they're looking at lots of ways to try to revitalize that program, and they're having actually a really good success with it. Our weather's been really good, which has helped as well. But currently they have anywhere from 25 and more people involved right now. Kids of all ages, parents, adults, teenagers, it's really is everybody. So they haven't been able to purchase new PFDs in a few years, and they're showing their wear. So they're looking for some money to purchase some new ones to start the revitalization of replacing their equipment.
Diana, would you have anything to add? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, I think we give a lot of credit to Adam Luchner.
Absolutely.
And, he started coming up to the programs on the Tuesday nights to start doing canoeing and things.
Yep.
And he got really excited about it, and then he brought it back to the Wickwire. And the Wickwire, he said, well, okay, we want to have a program up to the school. So he's actually going to install more of a program next year in there that's going to be part of their school curriculum, so to speak, to have to go down and canoe. So they've been doing that on Tuesday morning,
right.
And he's getting a large turnout. Again, these things are so important to, it's like all you have to do is lose one child in a canoeing accident because you can't get back in the canoe,
mm-hmm.
or things like that. It's safety. So
absolutely.
It's learning, it's teaching them, it's going beyond just how to paddle a boat. It's safety and being able to protect yourself. So I think this has been a great program, and again, it's gone so big so fast that they don't even have enough life jackets for everyone,
mm-hmm.
and replacing the old ones. So it's just fantastic.
Any other councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
They are a great program. The group, they're getting more involved in the community, and just an experience we had at the Broken Marina on Saturday with the Get Out on the Water event that we had from noon to 4. They came, and the two representatives from the canoe club came. They taught, you know, instructions on safe canoeing, and a lot of kids went out, and a lot of kids are going to be interested in that Tuesday program as well. So they're going to really need that.
And they've made the program really affordable too. Like they said, eventually it will probably have to cost more because, again, they have to keep replacing their equipment. But for now, they have it's $25 to paddle for the summer. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and they provide everything.
Counselor? Are we ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It's unanimous. Thank you very much. We'll move on to 12.3, High School Track, information report.
Sure. So the track project, they made the presentation to you, I believe it was in May. Following that, we were directed to kind of liaise with them to find out more about the project, kind of where they were at, see how we could, you know, help them in the whole process. So we met with them the beginning of June. And we were to look at it from a recreation standpoint. So we aren't, as a municipality, going to own or operate if the track happens in any way. That will be owned by the school board. So for us, it was how and what we could use the track for. So kind of just to see what they were planning, and then to kind of look at what could be offered on it. So we did that, and we went up and we met with them. And they've actually, since they made their presentation to you, they've made a few changes to their project and kind of thought of a few more things that they might like to add on. So we, while we were there, we also gave them some options for grants that could be applied for. And following that meeting, I spoke with the Department of Community, Culture, and Heritage to find out what other grants and kind of where they could access, I guess, help in their project. And they directed me to pass on the information that they have planning assistance money where they'll come in and they'll pay for 50% of the cost, up to a certain amount of, you know, developing the project, making sure they have a needs assessment and a feasibility study, which they currently don't have. I have all of the track group's information right here. And they basically will help with that. And then once they do that, they can apply for other funding to help with the costs of that project. So that information is going to be passed on to the group. As far as a recreation standpoint, a track would be great, because you could use it for all kinds of different things, as long as it's a community track at the end of the day. Like, it will be owned by the school board, so there would have to be some type of agreement that, you know, the community can use it and that it's not going to be closed, obviously. The final track would kind of depend on what events and whatnot from our standpoint that you could hold there, because you do need certain things for certain events. You need, you know, different groundwork and whatnot. So from our standpoint, we think a track would be great. You could use for all ages, all ability levels, because it would be accessible. So for example, the manor could go up and they could walk. They do their weekly walks and whatnot, but they could use it. Kids could use it. We could have events there. Again, what those are would depend on the final end project. So during their presentation, they had asked what they were kind of looking from us, if it moves forward, is in-kind work. So in discussion with other staff here, what I would recommend is that if council chooses to go forward and support the project, that we look at a financial contribution instead of in-kind, only because there's lots of issues in going in and doing the groundwork only for $50,000 and then pulling out, and someone else coming in and finishing it. And there's lots of issues with that field behind the school that we already know about. So in conclusion, we do think the track, you know, would be useful. It'd be a good asset to the community. I mean, any recreational, I guess, facility that we can add is only going to benefit. So there's definitely lots of things that we could use it for if you choose to go forward with that.
Anne, would you have anything to add at this point?
She did a great job summarizing.
Thank you. Okay, any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Clancy?
Yeah, the track itself, again, when they came here, they looked at having a tail coming up into it,
yep,
and make it, so it was only going to be a 330 track now. And of course, there's more land there, so they can make a 440 right around the track, which makes it a lot more compatible for doing events.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we'd be limited to anything that we could be able to do on that if it had the proper surface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be rubber track. We could have any kind of event, plus the idea that they could be able to, for walking for seniors, and like you mentioned, like things like the manor and such. But around Queen's Place, we have our nice walking track, but if somebody's older and going up those hills can be a little challenging. That's all flat.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody just wanted to go up and do a walking on a level, on a flat ground, it'd be great. Going here, the same with both the needs assessment and such, I understand where you're coming from, the saying, okay, it would be nice, going through this needs assessment, you may be able to get some funding through here, but that shouldn't be anything that would stop us from going forward with it. Because the needs assessment really is not on our behalf, but asking for that would only be for trying to get the funding from a different source. For us to be able to go forward with these people, I think the only thing would be in the way for us to look at going forward would be the idea that they would get a firm cost down now where they change the program to be able to say they can back at this. We shouldn't have to wait for a needs assessment or anything like that, because that should only be for the funding for them, because it's not our project, it's theirs. Again, I agree with that it should be made sure that it isn't something they're going to put a key and lock on, that they only use it when they're going to use it. It has to be open to the public at all times to be able to be used, and say, well, the school's down, so we put a lock on the gates, so we can't get in there. It's got to be something that's usable.
The point for the needs assessment and the feasibility study, that's kind of what we require with any, and I'm not saying that that would stop us from saying we are going to support it, if that's what you choose to do. It's just that it proves to us, you know, and it makes them think a little bit broader of what it could be used for, how it would be used, and just making sure that they have all the groundwork, you know, complete it before they jump into a project. That's the only, that, you know, that's what the needs assessment and the feasibility study, that's what they, that's what they do.
I still think, though, that that's still not something that should be, it's their project. If we were going to do it, we need it. But if it's their project, it's something that, because the needs assessment and the feasibility study can go on, you know, because you're into somebody else's hand. This could go on 3 months, 6 months. I don't think that should be part of what should hold us back from doing anything like that.
But we're contributing money to a project, so if they haven't proven to us what it's going to be used for, how it's going to be used, that there's agreements in place, you know, with the school board, that it will be a community project, and you choose to financially contribute, and then that changes, I think that's when we'd get into problem.
I mean, that's my opinion. That's ours to be. They get approved, they're going to put a track in and what they're going to do, and they're going to say that. They don't need to do the feasibility study. That's my point.
And I'll let Jennifer have a few comments here.
And that's fine. Obviously, we support their concept.
That's right.
Right.
But we can't determine an amount monetarily that
right.
will support it until they have finalized their design and their plan.
That's what
and
I'm saying.
And they're going to need that information, finalize their design and their plan,
that's
and
right.
to know that financially and feasibly they can do the project. And once they've determined that they can do the project in the way exactly that project is, then we will step in and say, yes, we support it, and we will determine to what amount that would be.
Yep, I agree with that. I agree with that. I just didn't think that, you know where it comes from.
And that will probably be determined. They'll need
sure.
some of that information in order for their other funding sources to come into place.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to need that information.
Yes, they are.
And they'll come back at that point and tell us what the project
exactly.
is, how much it's going to cost, and yep.
Councilor Fisk?
Megan, just wondering,
yes.
It's a great idea to have a track one day, I understand that. But what's bothered me a little bit, we started with the in-kind, and then all of a sudden we're going to contribute dollars. Did you come up with a round figure of $50,000 instead of the in-kind? Did I hear you wrong?
No, so the $50,000 was what they had asked us for. So they had asked us for $50,000 in kind. What I'm saying
right.
is that if we were to contribute, that it should be financially. I'm not saying that it should be $50,000. It should, I think, be based on, you know, the project and
right.
project that
the
they present
the
to us.
The reason I'm going to stretch this a little longer.
Sure.
The education is a very important thing, and I find that the Queens contribute. What would it be $2.6 million a year? In the education.
$2.7 million.
Yeah.
So we have to watch how much money goes towards that project, unless, you know, in kind is easier to work with than I feel than cash flow or something. That's all I have to say.
Yes, I'd ask the CAO to comment on the availability of equipment.
So, yeah, and the key thing is also the risk. So in kind, so at the end of the day, the region has to pay for it. So whether it's through, you know, paying wages or it's cash to them. However, if somebody's going to build a track, they're going to want it warranted, and it'd be much more, it's very difficult for us to go in and do a little bit of work and then have a contractor come in without us being responsible for that work. You would want the contractor to be responsible for, you know, drainage, which is issues on sports fields, you know, we're seeing that
right.
down on the other schools. So we think at this point that, you know, whether it's $50,000 paid through wages and equipment or $50,000 or more or less through a cash contribution to the group. It's better for risk management, both for the group and for us, to allow a contractor to do the lump sum project.
Can I just further on the conversation with this? So let's look at North Queens, North Queens School. They had a field that was tore up. How much money did the school board contribute back to fix that, to field back up? That type of thing. So what I'm saying is we have to look at how spread out we are when we contribute dollars to one area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my point. So thank you, Mayor.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
Thank you, Councillor Fisk. Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Well, you know, I'm listening to all these conversations about what it is, funding, our partnership with it. But, you know, I'm looking at also the fact that this track is so low maintenance. Once it's built, you don't have hardly any operating costs. You don't have bricks and mortar to look after. You don't have heat and light. That's all natural, right? So I really feel that this should be a real positive. Everybody should look at this in a positive way. Once it's built, it's a real big attraction, and it doesn't have really big operating costs after that. It's all natural. And it's very low cost for anybody to use it. So that's a real positive thing, too.
Councilor Fields?
Yeah, and the school board already committed this, but they'll look after that it's there. Mm-hmm. So any costs or anything that come up there, they will be looking at it. May I ask too, just because I don't want to go off of this and run away, I'd like to talk about Queen's Place too while we have everybody up there. I'd love to see that still back on the agenda.
I think we'll leave Queen's Place till after we're done with this one issue.
Yeah, but
we
I know.
We can do it today, but we'll
but
do
can
it.
Can I just talk, please?
Yes. Councillor Fancy, please try not to stray too far off the topic.
No, I'm not straying, because I'm saying it's a lot of times what we do is we finish, we go on to the next one, and I just wanted to mention that so we don't lose it. That's the only thing I'm saying.
That's fine. Any other councillor have a question or comment on this track issue? Okay. So I would ask if Councillor Fancy has something on Queen's Place. Would you like to deal with that right now while we have people at the presentation?
Okay. First off, I'd like to see that is on the agenda every week, every time, because I think Queen's Place is so big that I'd like to. Just some events we've had here, which is I'd always like to have the comments on the events and things which we have here, which has been terrific. I don't like to see those things get overlooked with the importance of what's been going on here, but even on July 1st and what we had over the weekend here and some things that are happening. But also too, the one thing which was already mentioned about here today, and I understand from our region's point of view with the helmets, we have to say that it's recommended. But since it's law, how we direct this here, because I'm seeing most people aren't wearing helmets. And it's just a matter of time for somebody to get seriously hurt. So how do we handle that? And I'm not saying I don't. But do we need to get a public forum or something saying it's against the law or something? I don't know what to do to do it, because it's an issue.
If I may respond to that, I contacted the RCMP. And I asked if they would put a little extra time into the skate park area and tap those on the shoulder that may not be wearing their helmet and advise them they needed a helmet as per the provincial law.
Mm-hmm.
It is an RCMP responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and they have agreed that they will soft encourage the residents that are utilizing the skate parks to wear their helmets and ramp that up as time goes on. So it is being addressed, Councillor Fancy.
Yeah.
Megan?
And they have been doing that. So I don't know when you asked, but they have been, and I try to go over at least once a day just to talk to the kids. And so they have been there more often, or I've at least noticed it. And I would say it's not the majority that aren't wearing helmets. It's the older kids. Doesn't make it right. The little ones are. And I've even, while I've been over there, overheard parents saying, you know, you really should have a helmet on. So everyone's kind of encouraging it. You're never going to fix it.
Maybe we can promote it more via Twitter and Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going over there on the weekends, and that's what I'm seeing.
Yep.
I'm not, because I'm sure you guys are going over there, RCMP, that's the weekends. I'm just seeing this. It It just scares me.
And maybe more of the sessions through making tracks on safety in the park. I know they're willing to do more after Sunday's event, so.
Thank you, Councilor Fancy. So now we'll move on to 13.0.1. We have 13.1 verbal update. I'd ask Mike McLeod to come forward. Thank you, Megan and Diane. Mike is going to give us a planning update today.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to touch on a number of the projects that that the department, I guess the bigger projects that the department's dealing with over the last little bit, and you'll see some information coming forward in the very near future. I guess one of the topics is the zoning in Caledonia, basically the core area of Caledonia. Question has been made to the department as to why I guess the core area of Caledonia is zoned as it is under the land use bylaw, which was adopted in 2009. The whole area was essentially zoned as a general residential zone. There are a number of commercial businesses that are located within that area, but at the time it was felt that a residential designation was more appropriate, and that if new commercial businesses wanted to locate in that area, they could do so through a rezoning process. So the bylaw was adopted, and the RQ zone was applied to that area. There have been a number of requests over the years for a new commercial business within that area, and I guess they've touched base with the North Queens Board of Trade just to kind of get their feeling. So we've been requested to reevaluate the zoning within that area to potentially look at changing that to a commercial designation within that kind of core area of Caledonia. So we've gone out and we've done a land use survey of what currently is on the ground. And I've had a number of discussions with the councillor for the area to see what to get his thoughts, and we're looking at potentially later on in July is sitting down with the North Queens Board of Trade to kind of get as an initial point of contact to try to get their input into what they feel is more reasonable for or most reasonable for the zoning for that area. So that's something we'll be looking at over the next couple of weeks, and then probably coming back to council for further direction. And if it's there'll be likely some more formal public engagement following discussions with the Board of Trade. So that's one of the items that we're working on. I guess the big project that we're currently trying to get kicked off, as you're all aware, the Municipal Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw, which was adopted in 2009, is up for the process to review those documents is due. So we're going to be starting that this year. So we've been in the process of trying to define, I guess, the shape that project is going to take. It's going to be a very large project, probably taking place over a year and a half or two years. So it's going to be a fairly in depth. So trying to align the scope of this project with some of what council has as its priorities. It's established as its priorities. A couple of those being downtown revitalization and commercial development within the area, as well as housing are two of the big items that we're looking at. So it's likely that the scope of the project, that we break it down into several phases, more manageable phases. So it's my intention to have a report on the scope of the project for council to have a look at in August, and get the direction from council to move forward with that project. So like I say, it's anticipating in August we'll have something for council to look at and get direction.
I guess one of the other things is kind of in relation to the real estate services. We're going through and doing an inventory of all the lands that the municipality has, and we've identified and council has approved a number of those as declared surplus land. So we'll continue to go through those into the future and look at what properties we may be able to list through local real estate as we have no deemed need for those parcels, and they're better off in public hands where we're getting some tax revenue for those. So so we'll continue to work with those. And just the other one, we currently have a request for proposals out for the next phase, or next two phases in the transportation project. We've been working with Queen's Care Society to progress that project. So the RFP's out, and I think it's due, Richard, the end of August for, I guess, phase two and phase three. We've applied for funding through the provincial transportation research incentive program for the phase two and three, which is the business plan development and pre-pilot implementation are the next two phases. So so we're looking for consulting services to assist us in the preparation of those two items. So this is just a couple of the items that we're currently working on. So
thank you, Mike. Any comments or questions of councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Mike, thank you for reporting. Just have a couple questions, and I'm just looking at the process when we deal with, say, someone comes in and requests a zoning change, and the usual process is they make application to you, and then it comes ordinarily through the Planning Advisory Committee with an open public meeting at which the general public are invited to just sit in the gallery and observe. And if they want some input, then they have an opportunity at some point if they could do that. And then it goes through the recommendation to council, and then either gets approved to go forward to a public hearing, which is advertised in the paper, and then a public hearing is held, and then a decision is made. What we've discovered over the last number of years is a lot of the general public are not quite aware of what this process, what the information is, what the zoning is, and all the particulars about the actual application and the impact that it may have on a community or an area. So at some point they come here to the public hearing, and they're confused, and there's always, well, I need more information, I don't have enough. So we had discussed at some point of having a little community session, a community meeting. Once it went through the Planning Advisory Committee and the application was made, having a community meeting prior to the public hearing. And I really think we should take a real serious look at that, because that would prevent a lot of the
Absolutely.
Misinformation or the information that wasn't made aware. So does that have to go through our new planning documents, or can we do this now?
I think it's certainly something we can encourage now. There's nothing written in policy, and I think that's certainly an earmarked item that
yes.
we have for the planning review, is that
yes.
the public information sessions. So we do have a couple of things like wind turbine generators, which are done through a development agreement process. That's actually part of the policy that we require them to hold a public consultation session prior to. And I agree that you can iron out a lot of or answer a lot of the questions and iron out some of the concerns prior to actually getting to the public hearing stage, and I agree totally that that's the way that we should be going as we move forward through the review process. It's certainly my intention to have that included as part of that. So
that is an individual council staff decision that we can do prior to going through this new planning document. Is that right, or does it have to go through the process of you getting this new document and the planning?
I don't know whether we can require it. It's not part of,
no,
I guess, the formal
but
part of the process. But we can certainly encourage that process take place. That because it does, like you say, it can iron out some of the concerns that maybe.
So So we can do that anytime then, is that what you're saying?
I think we can encourage an applicant to potentially do that, but can we formally require them to do that? I don't believe we can, it's not part of.
Can we call it ourselves? Can we call the, when I see them advertised in the paper for Halifax, a community session on this planning application is going to be held prior to the public hearing. Is that called by the applicant or is that called by the municipality?
I don't know what
can we help
Richard, you
that?
Can probably comment on.
Yeah, so again, this comes down to how their policy works for public engagement.
Okay.
And there's both that happens. Often, in fact, yesterday we met with a developer that Councilor Fraylip asked us to meet with, and we talked about doing just that, so that we encourage him, you know, to have a public meeting, tease out if there's any issues with his concept, and then go through the process. Definitely, we're going to be recommending and go through that process that is incorporated in our policy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to the developer's benefit to do that public engagement. So we'll encourage them quite strongly to do that and see what they can address before they come before council and those things play out here.
Certainly there is cost incurred in
yes.
those, and I guess that's something we'd have to look at as far as our fee structure, though that's going to be additional advertising and additional expense in that, so certainly our fee structure will have to be adjusted accordingly, but so we'll take all that in look out and when we make that as part of our policy under the new documents. So.
Well, this certainly is a gain from both parties when you do have that actually discussion.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so we'll look at it.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councilor Johnson?
Well, I'm just trying to clarify the action around the Caledonia issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and what I'm trying to do is, you had mentioned having a kind of like a public meeting with the Board of Trade
mm-hmm.
sometime in July. So if we could get a firm date as to that, then I can start working at that.
Yes.
My calendar says there's only 2 weeks left in July. So
mm-hmm. yep.
things look like so. I'm really starting to look at deadline dates. Not moving dates, but deadlines.
Yeah, no, I guess it's my understanding, Councillor Johnson, they regularly meet the first part of the month would be their ordinary.
But not during the summer.
Not during
the
summer.
A special meeting.
Okay.
Special
so, yeah,
group,
yeah,
depending
so.
On who you wanted as an audience.
Yep.
That's a conversation.
So we'll iron that out together, yeah. Yep.
So that meeting will happen before the end of July.
Yep, that's my intent. Yep.
Any other councillors? Thank you, Mike.
Good.
Nothing on the agenda on 14.0 reports. Nothing on the agenda under 15.0 other. I'm going to pause for a few moments to see if Councilor Fraley arrives back in shortly.
Can I just say a few words about the event that was supported by the municipality on Saturday at the Brooklyn Marina? We had a very first event called Get Out on the Water, which was initiated through SAIL Nova Scotia, and trying to get more people to utilize water activities and that sort of thing. And a huge thank you to SAIL Nova Scotia for funding it with $500, and they requested the Region of Queens for $250, which the group got as well, and they want to say a huge thank you to the region for supporting that event, and it was well attended. Non-stop, we must have gave away about 300 hot dogs and drinks, and people were, big families were there. The wonderful family that lives on Main Street, they have 11 children, they came down, and some of their kids are going to be interested in the sailing program, so it really did work well. So I really want to say it was a great event, and it was good for the marina and good for the community.
Thank you for the update, Deputy Mayor. Appreciate it. Okay, so now we're moving down to 16.0 in camera. A motion to go in camera, which we appreciate it. Moved by Councilor News, second by Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We will call a 10-minute recess.